Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for coming. This is How to Submit. It's pretty much, you know, hey, I've written a novel, now what do I do after that? Sitting before you are our panelists who are all published authors, editors. They have a lot of experience, especially in e-publishing. That's what we're here to talk about. So they're going to here to share their little nuggets of wisdom with you and answer questions that you might have. We're going to start off by asking them a few questions, and we'll let them introduce themselves first. And then we'll turn it over to the floor, so if you have any questions, we'll be happy to answer them for you. Let's start right over here with Sasha.
What? My name is Sasha Ilyevich. I am the editor over at Sizzler Editions. We specialize in...
Can I say adult material?
Okay. Adult material, primarily romance. I have headed the line over at the romance line of Sizzler Editions for the last year and a half or so, as well as being a published author for the last 12 years in romance professionally.
I'm Scott Sigler. I write both for Random House's imprint of Crown Publishing, where I do kind of the hardcover, big release horror thrillers, hard science horror thrillers. So if you're a fan of science, you'll probably like what I do, and a fan of splattery blood, too. Those go well together. And then also probably more pertinent to this panel is I am a co-founder of Dark Overlord Media, and we put out our own line of far future sci-fi books. But we do hardcovers. We get a large amount of money in with pre-order because of an existing fan base, which we then use to produce the book. We also record the audiobook, and we put out the ebook. And we just launched our third book yesterday called The All Pro. So it's a different way to go about getting published.
Jeez, I'm so sorry. Oh, my gosh.
That's how we make the panel interesting.
Yes, I'm so sorry. I write as Marianne LaCroix. I have been published since 2003, mainly e-publishing. I currently write for Alora's Cave with adult material. And I am also the president and founder of the Romance Writers of America chapter down in Tallahassee, Florida.
Okay. Hi.
Hi.
My name is Stephanie Burke. I've been writing professionally for close to 13, pushing 14 years. I have right now about 43 books that are actually published, anything from novellas to plus-size novels, which is 100,000-plus words. I'm published with Alora's Cave, Changeling Press, Lucid Press, Red Rose Press, Sizzler Editions, Broken Sword Press, and there's like maybe three or four more in there. The more the merrier is my slogan. And I write anything. I write erotica, erotic romance, a lot of adult stuff. I write hard sci-fi. I write paranormal, historical, horror, even though I think it's like hard sci-fi, but apparently it's a horror, and anything that's basically going to make me money or catches my attention, I'll write about it. So if you're thinking about, saw about it, even had an inkling to about it, I've probably written it already, or I'm in the process of writing, because I have like maybe 200 manuscripts in process right now. So, yay, write is right. Even if you don't know if you're going to sell, write is right.
And your moderator is Kiernan Kelly. I write gay erotica and gay romance. I also write young adult novels under a different pen name. Okay, so let's start off with, we'll start with Sasha and work our way down. Let's talk a little bit about what the difference is between a traditional publisher and e-publishing, because there are big differences in the process of how you submit to either one of them. Sasha?
Big difference from my perspective, and I forgot to mention earlier that I am agented in both ebooks and print, is the business model. In the traditional publishing model, you've got a lot of more overhead, so your costs are going to be higher, and your overhead's going to be a lot more hectic to deal with. In e-publishing, there really is no overhead. Yeah, you still have to pay cover artists and editors and the rest of the staff for the book to go out, but number one, you're not held back by time. You can get a book out in, 6 months or so, as opposed to every 6 months you're writing a book, and that won't come out for 4 years in traditional print. So a number of other differences that are, to me, they're minor, but really the key focus is the business model for me. You have a lot more opportunity as an ebook author to make a ton of more money because of the lack of overhead, as I mentioned earlier, plus the fact that you've got a wide-reaching audience that, because of the Kindle and the Nook and those other devices, I've got a Nook application on my cell phone, so you've got that audience built in right there.
I would agree largely with everything that he said. you've got traditional publishing in which someone else is going to own your property for a certain amount of time and probably can own it in perpetuity if they want to keep releasing new versions of that. As long as the book doesn't go out of print, they've got the rights to that. And if you're a borderline superstar, you're going to make as much as 12% on each book. And if you're Stephen King or someone else, I'm sure you can negotiate a better deal. But most contracts are structured so that if you sell over 15,000 units, you're moving up into the 12% range. If you're selling an ebook by yourself from the Kindle store, it's 70%. And then using our business partners at Dark Overlord is a site called BackMyBook.com. And if you want to sell your own stuff in print in addition to ebook, I highly suggest you go check out that site. They're great people. We make 90% on each sale of that. And as he said, it's a big time factor. When we start the wheels rolling and we're going to put out a book, we're able to control the look, the feel. We hire the cover artists, we hire the editors, we put the book in the store, and then as soon as we recoup our costs, we're making that money back forever. So a question I'm sure will come up later is, well, why should you go after a larger publisher? And there's almost no reason to do it, unless it absolutely falls into your lap and someone at a big publisher is going to say, we saw this, we love this, we want to make you a big deal. I think moving forward, it's far better to own your own property and put out your own ebooks.
I really can't add too much to what they said, but in ebooks, how I got started, I was at a chat in a chat room, and I gave away a piece of a book that I had started to write, and the person that got it was an editor, and I got a contract the next day. That's how I got published. So, I mean, that kind of thing does not happen in traditional publishing. You know, you have a very big opportunity to overnight, you know, get a contract. And I'm very happy with electronic publishing, especially now with all the Kindle and the Nook and everything, because you do make a lot of money. And I'm very happy because you don't have to conform any of your ideas to any particular house is what they're looking for. Like, I don't know I'm not sure how I can describe this.
Tora's looking for romance now.
Well, I mean, you have creative freedom in ebooks because mainly if you, whatever you write, there's going to be somebody that's going to want to read it, and you can probably sell it.
Well, I have to keep my comments in harmony with my panelists here. Number one thing for me was the creativity that's allowed. My first novel was about a pregnant male alien who crash-landed on Earth and gave birth to twins. No New York house would touch that. There was a time when New York houses wouldn't touch erotica either because they did not feel it was safe. But with small press, they were like, oh, that sounds like a really interesting idea. Let me see more. Oh, wow, we can do this. What else can you give me? So when you deal with smaller houses, you have creative flexibility to do things that you would not think that would be published. You know, there's a market, like you said before, for just about everything. Also, I have to talk about the contracts. With any publishing house, you have to be very careful with your contracts. As an ebook published through ebook publishing houses, small press, my royalties start at 45%. And we have this wonderful thing where you don't get a cash advance, which is a glorified loan. But the first month that my book is released, I start getting dividends. If I have a contract that says I get paid monthly, that first month I have a huge royalty check for me, and it keeps on giving. The backlist grow. Unlike traditional New York houses, your books start selling, they'll pull them. Whereas I have stuff that I published 13 years ago that's still selling pretty well. Mm-hmm. I don't want to, I talk a lot. I don't want to go ahead and take
over
the whole panel.
In ebook format, it's selling.
In ebook format.
Right.
And some of my stuff is in print through Allure's Cave, through Lucid, and through Changeling Press. And some of my stuff is in bookstores. And that has a pretty good, I get a bigger rate even for my print books via ebooks than I would for a New York company. So, I mean, that's something that you have to keep in mind. Also, we have in small press publishing houses that are catered towards certain things. I keep talking about Changeling Press, it's one of my favorite publishing houses. They only do novella length stories. So that's anything from 5,000 up to 28,000 to 30,000 words. And it's wonderful because I can sit down, I had a dream, write this down, and in a day have a book. Edit it, send it in, get a contract for it, and within 6 weeks, it's released. So that means you can quickly get books in, and you can get them out, and you can start making revenue, as opposed, as you spoke before, waiting almost a year or so to have a book done. So if you're doing something with trends, by the time the book comes out, the trend is gone.
Can I add something? Just because you have an idea and you write it quickly, make sure you edit it, because just because it's an e-publisher doesn't mean that it's not going to be quality, because they do edit.
E-publishers are harder.
Big time.
I'd like to impress on everybody that years and years and years ago, when e-publishing first, when first e-books came out, they weren't really good, you know? And it's kind of gotten, e-publishing, e-books have kind of gotten a bad rap because of those first few years when they were testing the waters, so to speak. Now, you need to be a writer in order to be published with reputable ebook publishers. So just keep that in mind. You still need to hone your craft. It's not like you can just roll out of bed one morning and say, I'm going to be a writer, and start writing stuff down and expect it to be published. It has to be, you have to hone your craft as well as you would as if you were going with the traditional route.
There's an interesting new wrinkle to this where you can hone your craft with a pen name. If you just want to, because of the ability for you to take Pages by Mac, I don't know if Microsoft Word will do it, and export that as an EPUB format and be able to upload that into the Kindle store. So if you have some stuff and you just want to kind of get the feel, how does this process work? I want to get my wings under me for handling ebooks, putting them in the store myself. I think if you can go with an ebook publisher, that's better for you as a writer, because managing the property yourself is a ton of work, extra work, and that work. While you are doing that work, you are not writing. So that's the key. You make more money from each sale, but you're also not creating new product. But under pen name, you can just put stuff into the store, because what we find with ebooks is you have no idea what's going to take off.
No,
you have no idea what, and you can. There's some people who are selling 10,000 copies a month, and you will look at it and go, "This would fail." A rudimentary English class, but people love it, and you know, it's as long as the customer is happy spending their money on that product, everything's fine.
I guess I should have asked when we first started. Who here is a aspiring writer? Okay, who here has not been published yet but wants to be? Okay, we've been using some terms up here that I think we should explain a little bit. For example, an advance. I'm not sure if you know what an advance is. Some people get the impression that, oh, if you write a book and you go through a traditional publisher, they're going to give you this ton of money, and you're just going to keep making money. That's not the way it works. An advance is an amount of money, a set amount, that a publisher will give you upon publication, or sometimes even before that, that they're saying, okay, we think you're going to make this much money with your book. As your books sell, they deduct it. They keep a running total. Once you reach the amount they've already given you, then you'll start seeing money. The truth is, with traditional publishing, once you get your advance, that's probably all the money you're going to see made from that book. You probably will not sell enough to go beyond that through traditional publishing. Through e-publishing, it's different. Most e-publishers don't give advances, number one. And the ones that do, it's very small.
$1,000 or so, or less.
You're not talking a whole lot of money. So it's very possible for you to very quickly make up that money and then start getting royalties after that. And royalties, of course, is the percentage of the book title cost that goes to you as the author. It's not 100% unless you're going to self-publish. Mm-hmm. Then it's probably close to that. Through with the Kindle, I know it's 77%.
To it, because it's got to do with the sales split, and it's more math.
Right, with e-publishing, most e-publishers are probably between 35% and 50%. They kind of split it with.
That's phenomenal. Yeah. I mean, you know, again, with
amount.
Random House, it's the biggest publisher in the world, and the best you can hope for is 12%. You got to work your way up to that,
right.
And you will find out 18 months after they sold the book, you get to see that money. It's the funny thing with Random House is, at Dark Overlord, we do everything ourselves. We sell a book from our site, and 1 second later, we have an email saying who bought it, how much they bought it for, etc. We're able to track all that. Amazon, every week, updates us on our stats. Random House, it's 18 months after a book sells, I will find out how I'm selling. So from the ebook perspective, if you're a go-getter and a marketer, and you want to go out and make a brand name for yourself, with traditional publishing, you have no idea if what you're doing works for a year and a half. And in any business, it's impossible to invest time and money into that. But in ebooks, you know right away, oh, I did something, and my sales went up 200% the next day. That works.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the other thing with ebook publishers is that they usually pay either every month or every quarter, as opposed to getting a check once every 6 months or once a year from the big houses. Let's talk a little bit about the actual difference between a traditional publisher, an ebook publisher, and a vanity press, which is self-publishing.
Okay.
Let's talk a bit about what the difference is between those three.
Traditional publishing, e-publishing, and vanity press. I'll go with the ebook angle from my house's perspective and let my panel mates cover because they've got different perspectives because it does differ across the board in e-publishing. From house to house, there are different standards. Sizzler Editions tends to do things in a very New York-style way because it's successful, it works, and it keeps our overhead costs low and keeps money coming to the authors as well as the editors. Cover art choice, for example. I got two of my authors on this panel right now, and I'm very proud of both of them, and I like their covers. They didn't really have much of a say. Because in New York, same thing. Don't know much of a say, but there are other houses that I work with that'll give you a form to fill out and say, what's your characters on the cover look like? What do you picture this cover seeing as and how is it? And the reason we don't do this is because basically what you actually see that sells and makes top lists, covers are very iconic. And the fact of the matter is, at least for me, I'm a writer, not a cover guy. So that's why I don't worry so much about them. In traditional press, you've got a much longer lag time between the time the contract gets to your desk and the time it goes back to New York and the time that your book gets published. You're talking, I think I've seen from some bigger authors, they sell. New York Times authors sell, and they're still looking at a year out from the date that they turn in a book. In ebooks, as Stephanie had said earlier, you can get a book out literally in, you said 6 weeks? Really?
Yeah, quickest I've had done was they had an opening. I wrote a book in about a week, went through edits with my editor about 3 or 4 times. In 2.5 weeks, the book was out.
Oh, and the other thing about this from traditional and ebook publishing is you do not pay a single cent. Money flows, and this is my hard and fast rule, money flows to the author. Vanity Press, you may have to recoup some, you have to pick up some upfront costs as far as editing. You may have to pay for a cover artist. You may have to pay for a different editor. You may have to pay for all sorts of other things. And then if you're not really in this business in the same vein that most career ebook authors are, you may be paying for a lawyer to read your contracts as well.
Sasha, yes. Vanity Press doesn't give you editors.
Mm-mm. That's why you pay your editors.
You
can hire, I will do editing work for a fee outside of my house, but it's not my main source of income, but yeah, Vanity Press doesn't, so that's why I was going with that.
The difference between traditional publishing, e-publisher, and Vanity Press. The first thing to cover is, as little as 3 years ago, I think, when did the Kindle come out?
About two years ago.
2 years ago, so as little as 3 years ago, I signed my contract with Random House in 2007. In little as 3 years ago, the bottom fell out of the publishing industry and has continued to change dramatically. So I put out books with Random House. They're now coming out every 18 months. That's an enormous amount of time. So if you are fortunate enough to sign with a big publisher, even if you get an advance, you are in a situation where you are largely locked in, probably 18 months from the time you sign the contract. Because once the book is finished, it's still 8, 9 varying months. Everything can completely change in publishing really fast, and then you are left holding the bag of this contract. So the frequency with which you can publish is a big consideration. They do, most big publishers, they will just give you the cover. Usually don't get any input on that. Some people do. I complain enough and make enough noise that they just think it's easier to just work with me on that. A lot of friends I know that just the cover just shows up and it's like, but I don't have a dragon in my book. Well, it doesn't matter. It's
too bad.
It's a fantasy book and dragons on covers sell. I'll let them all speak to working as a specific ebook publisher with an ebook publisher. But Vanity Press, as Sasha pointed out, there is no way ever your money should be going to the publisher. If you want to hire your own editor so that you can put the book out yourself, that's totally fine, but I can't think of any reason that you should go to the Vanity Press. The reason Vanity Press was there in the past, three years ago and beyond, was so that they could put your book together in a layout program, print the book, and then ship the book so it would stock at Amazon, et cetera, and ship you copies.
If it shipped.
Vanity Press, there's a lot of snake tomfoolery going on in Vanity Press. But since now, I wrote down some stuff. I think only about 20% of the people in America right now have an e-reader. Mm-hmm. Only about 20%. And it's exploding with the Kindle, with the Nook, and especially with the Amazon Reader on phones and the Nook Reader on smartphones. Smartphones are 80% of every phone sold are smartphones. Now people have everything in the world right here, and their e-reader is right here. So it's only going to get bigger. So, the reason to go with the Vanity Press is so that you can get books to try and ship them to bookstores, which are all closing and Borders doesn't exist anymore. If they will even take them, which they won't because they won't take Vanity Press, then they'll have them for about a week to 2 weeks, and then they get shipped back to you. So Vanity Press is something to watch out for. If you want to hire your own cover artist and hire your own editor for your book, just put it up in the Kindle store yourself. Kindle makes it super easy for you to do.
Sometimes with the smaller press, you don't get any input on your covers. I didn't have any input on these. This one I like. This one not so much, because the first thing I said was, what is she doing? I mean, what is she doing? And I wrote to the publisher, and I asked them, I said, can you please take her off? And they said, you don't have any input in this.
Oh.
I'm like, okay. As far as Vanity Press, I could tell you I went to a small con local in Panama City, and it was a writer panel, and it was me and two others, and they were Vanity Press, and they were telling people how to get published. And basically, I mean, the only you're paying money for somebody to publish you, and then you're going to sell books out of your car. I'm not kidding. As bad as that sounds, it's exactly what it is. And I felt kind of bad because I kind of attacked them a little bit. But, I mean, if you think you're writing quality, please submit it somewhere and do your homework on who you're submitting to.
Mm. I'd like
e-publishers, there are fly-by-night ones out there. Now, I'm with Laura's Cave, and they've been around for a long time. And Stephanie, when I met her, she was writing for them
yeah.
in the beginning.
In the beginning, it was like, I've been around Laura's Cave since there was only 12 of us.
Right.
Pumping out like 100,000-plus word novels, two or three, in a six-month period just to try to keep overhead up.
So, yeah, but do your homework.
Laura's Cave?
Laura's Cave.
I can't understand what you're saying, yeah.
Elora, E-L-L-O-R,
A-apostrophe S,
Cave. Mm-hmm. They are an adult publisher. They do have a softer romance line now called Blush.
Mm-hmm. When you're doing your research for a publisher, there is a site called Predators and Editors. They keep a running list of complaints against publishers made by authors, made by readers. So if before you submit, check your publisher on the list. Make sure that there's nothing, no big red flags up there saying that they've had problems.
But, yeah, but you want to hit on how people can...
Hi, Pierce.
Piers Anthony, who is actually one of my favorite fantasy writers, also has a website that lists different publishers and agents, I think, also.
And don't be afraid if you're considering submitting to an e-publisher, look at the author list and go ahead and contact a couple of them.
Yeah.
And see.
We'll talk to you guys all day long.
We will talk to you. We love it. We will talk to you about, we want you guys to get out there and be published, because there's lots of readers out there.
I don't want to have to write 1,200,000 plus novels in a year again.
Yeah.
So we need more writers.
Let me say two quick things before I just took notes down. Anybody ever heard of J.A. Conrath out there?
No.
Fascinating. J.A. Conrath is probably the number 1, 2, 3, 4, someone in the ebook seller, and runs a website called A Newbie's Guide to Publishing. And you guys should all be reading that blog, because he covers very specifically, if you want to put the books out yourself, here's how you do it, here's success stories, and here's case studies. And that's J, letter A, K-O-N-R-A-T-H. Go read his blog, absolutely. And unless you're a professional artist, like that's what you do for a living, don't do your own cover. Just don't do it.
Yeah, that's one of the things I wanted to touch on. All right. Before I start, she has a question.
One of the things I'm wondering is, you're mostly dealing with fiction.
Is the same true for nonfiction as well?
Yeah.
All this is same thing. There's no reason you can't do your own nonfiction, and I'm not a nonfiction author, so I can't speak to content or quality. But if you put out something good, put it out in the Kindle store yourself. It's the beauty of it is it's a worldwide free distribution to any English-speaking reader. And I'm not as we sell stuff on the German Amazon as well, but I'm not too familiar with that. But you all of a sudden, your subject matter and your book is available to anyone, anywhere in the world, at the speed of light. It's free distribution. So yeah, whatever you write, there's someone out there who wants to read that.
There are ebook companies in small press that deal only with nonfiction.
That's what I was asking, if the resources you mentioned were more geared towards fiction rather than nonfiction as well.
Yeah, because we're all fiction writers. But Predators and Editors and Piers Anthony Groups covers the gauntlet of all publishers that are out there. So you just type in nonfiction and they will give you the listings of nonfiction publishers and their agents.
Yeah, I was going. I had a bunch of other questions I was going to ask. I think we're going to ditch those for now because it looks like you guys have a lot of questions of your own, and I'd rather they be answered than anything I might ask. Is that okay with you guys?
Yeah. Can I say something about self-publishing on the Kindle? I totally would suggest that you get published with somebody first before you go ahead and try to get published yourself on the Kindle, because I've been in this for years, and I just put out something on the Kindle a couple months ago. Now, the only reason it's selling is because I have a name, and my fans for my other books are finding it through that. So I'm actually making money because I've been published before. And the only reason I self-published it is because it was a reissue.
One of the things I want to add to that bit is when it comes time to do this sort of thing, if you're really, really, really gung-ho, and I'm going to spell it out for you guys, I'm just not a fan of self-publishing. It's too much like work, and I didn't become a writer to work my butt off. I became a writer to share stories with readers and give them experiences they would hopefully enjoy. One of the biggest or most harrowing things of the self-publishing route is formatting your manuscripts. I had an issue with an author, actually both of these authors know it because I told them after the fact. It was my inadequacy in Word, and I got a tech background. I was in IT for years before I became a professional writer, and it's not a problem for me. But the fixes I needed for these issues were really, really simple, but trying to figure out what the actual syntax, how to word them in Google so I can find the solution is not something I want to spend time doing.
We hire a company called eBook Architects to lay out our stuff, because again, we don't do our own covers. We don't do our own layout because eBook layout's pretty complicated because it's sliding scale font sizes.
Yeah.
It has to be applicable on multiple readers, and readers are they're very unforgiving. If you've got a random isolated orphan word and like real minor mistakes, but they don't care. They paid their money for it, whether 99 cents or $5. They're pissed off that you didn't take the time to make it right.
I'm a writer. I'm also a reader, and I can't tell you how annoyed I am when I get a book up for my Nook.
When I get a book for my Nook and I open it up and one page has huge fonts and then the next page has little tiny fonts and I can't change it, and that's a formatting issue.
See, I can deal with the formatting issues like this. It's the shoddy editing, the lack of continuity, and a lot of things that you need experience in before you try to get into self-publishing. I mean, it might sound perfect and great to you, but you have somebody who's more of a professional who's not dealing with your baby. Because when you write, let's face it, your books are your babies. You think they're perfect. Somebody's going to find that mistake. And when you find continuity mistakes, when you find grammar issues, things like that just tick me off, makes me want to hurl the book against the wall. I don't like that. And if you start out without having experience in finding some of these tricky things, without having an editor, either you hire one or, you know, to help you out with this, if you try to go it on your own, it's very, very difficult, and these mistakes are quite common, and they can ruin, you know, you start off self-publishing like that, and you have a book that's filled with mistakes, nobody's going to come back and buy it again. They're going to expect that over and over again. Whereas in small press, you have an editor. You have the CARs, most publishing houses, do your cover art request form and all this. Your editor is tougher than most New York editors. They will call you on everything. You should see some of the galleys that I get. I mean, they're red and they're bleeding all over the paper.
Yeah.
But it's proper. It helps me learn. It helps me grow as a writer, and it identifies mistakes. They catch them. We have line editors after your regular editor, I guess in case something slipped through with them. The editing and the continuity and the quality of your work are key, because you don't want to have a name develop for yourself as being a shoddy writer, because if something wrong goes wrong, they don't blame the editor. They don't blame the publishing house. They blame you. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to New York publishers, I do want to get published with New York one day. That's my goal. Why? Just because I said I can. I'm making my living right now off of ebooks. It's, like I said before, the gauntlet of issues that I can touch. I mean, for the longest, New York would not touch homoerotica. Homoerotica is huge in ebooks. Now companies like Kensington are starting to dip their feet in, but they still haven't quite gotten it. And now, since we're talking about the shakeups with a lot of the New York publishing houses, they don't know how to market ebooks. You know, Dorchester disappeared. There's a bunch of companies that are shaky, on shaky ground. They're about to go. And a lot of them are saying, oh, new media, ebooks, let's dive in. But we dove in 10, 15 years ago, so we have the experience to deal with this. But now they're charging for ebooks the same price that they would charge for regular books. They don't know how to operate in this new field. And they're not paying attention to what small press is doing because, frankly, we scare them.
My most recent book out with Crown is called Ancestor. And I believe it is $14.95 an ebook, and on Amazon you can get the paperback book for $11. So
what's with that?
Fans are just like, what? And of course they ask me. I'm like, I can't help you there. I can't even find the right person to talk to about this. So yeah. They don't know what they're doing with ebooks.
And for
houses are so used to doing things their way that they just don't have the experience to run with an ebook.
No, they don't. And as for Vanity Press, I must warn you about Publish America.
Yeah.
Publish America is horrible. They just recently said that if you send them your manuscript and plus $40, they'll let J.K. Rowling read your book. Or President Obama read your book. J.K. Rowling is suing to get them to stop. And they're counter-suing, saying, we could say that. We just said that we would put the book across their desk so they can actually take all your manuscripts and drop in front of her gate if they can find out where she lives. And there, they've met their obligations. So it's shiesty. It's very, very dirty. And if you go the vanity publishing route, a lot of publishing houses, traditional or small press, will not touch you at all. Some on their submission paper guidelines said, if you've ever dealt with a vanity press, don't even bother submitting to us because we don't want you.
A good thing to do, too, is the Kindle store is your vast research warehouse. So you can go to the Kindle store, you can look for books in the genre that you're writing, find that specific niche chart for that, and start clicking through those books and making a list of, oh, this publisher has 5, 6, 7 books in the top 20. If you're going to write gay erotica and there's one publisher that has 5 books in the top 10, that's a pretty good place to start. If they only have one book under their name, maybe move them farther down the list. So you can see what publishers are actually moving product right on Amazon. It's your own research facility.
And hit the office publisher website. I give away chapters of every book that I've done.
Same here.
I give away free stories on my website. And if you ask me a question, I will get back to you. It might not be immediate, but within a week on a convention like this, maybe 2 weeks to a month, I will get back with you. And you can sit down and we will discuss everything that you need to know. Any questions that you have, I will answer them, or I'll find my best to direct you to somebody who can.
And I also give away everything I write as an unabridged audiobook as a weekly podcast. So again, if you guys aren't a proven author, you don't have an audience yet, as she mentioned, you sell ebooks when you have a name and an audience. Don't be afraid to just give stuff away.
Well,
one of the things that I actually,
because we were discussing this last night, most readers of ebooks are loyal to the publishing house, not to the reader.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So you have people who will buy everything, say, for Lucid Press. When Lucid Press releases on Thursday, they drop their new line. People will go and buy every book there, no matter who the author is, because they are loyal to the publishing house.
And that runs contrary to the print world, because in the print world, people don't buy a Crown book. They don't buy a Random House book. They buy from authors.
I don't think that's always the case, because I know my readers follow me.
Yeah, but
mine do too.
In general, I have to say in general, but that's why I have so many publishing houses, because my readers tend to follow me, and then they'll go back and buy my backlog,
right,
which is great.
I think most writers
most writers in the ebook world will write free reads, and it's a great way to get people to kind of taste your style and see if they like how you write. If they do, they're going to go out and they're going to buy your stuff. In fact, later on, if you guys want, I have CDs with free reads on them. This is part of a promotion that I do to help get my name out there, which is something we're going to talk about in tomorrow's panel, which is how to market yourself. But if you guys can come up and get these later.
And I also want to say, you don't have to do free reads. I mean, even a 10K story and you sell it is a great marketing tool, and you'll make money on it. I have a book out that I've had out for 5 years, and it's still my bestseller. I mean, and it's only like 10, 12K over at Dolores Cage.
What is that charge? What do you charge
for
that?
$2.99.
It was $2.99.
Yeah.
And I make a lot of money off of that because people just, because they like it cheap and short.
Instant gratification.
Yep.
How different is the process for who you're contacting for different genres of books? Is it like someone completely different for like a horror novel versus an adult story?
As far as contacting to solicit your book?
Yeah.
No.
No, I think it's the same.
It's the same person.
It's the same animal with a different skin.
So, I mean, the same person who you would send a children's book to, they're also taking, like, some...
It depends on the publisher.
It's probably genre... It's mostly genre-specific to the publisher, but finding out who is the editor, the publisher, the just... And usually it's right on a website, submission information.
Yeah, okay. Go to your submission guideline. They will tell you how to format your stories. They will tell you what they're looking for. Sometimes they will give you examples. Because if you don't format it correctly, a lot of people will take it and toss it because that's not what they're looking for.
You can't follow directions. If they're like, no. if you can't follow basic directions, then that's their screening process because every publisher gets so many manuscripts, so they just get rid of them.
One of the great things about e-publishing versus traditional publishing is that e-publishing has open calls.
Yay.
That means that anybody can submit for this anthology that they have coming out, or they're soliciting for full-length novels, or they're soliciting for short stories. If you go to the publisher's website, they will have a clickable link to their submissions page, and they will list their open calls. There's also there are different writing associations, like the ones we deal with probably are not suitable for children, but there are different writing associations online that you can join their circle, and they will supply lists of open calls.
See, Karen, what about Epic?
Epic
doesn't do just exclusively adult, right? They do everything.
I think they do, yes.
Okay, so for those, it's Electronic Publishing Industry Coalition or something like that. Epic, they do a convention every year as well, but they do have a list of adult and non-adult houses out there, who to talk to and question. I know, for example, over at Sizzler Editions, I deal with all the romance-oriented stuff and adult material. Same thing with them, Christian. But Sizzler Editions is a branch of Renaissance eBooks. Page Turner Editions is a different guy. All the same, you know, people work together, whatever, but a different guy, and he wants different things than what I want versus even the same subgenres.
Okay, but your basic directions are going to be the same no matter where you go.
And you don't need an agent for eBooks.
Not yet.
Agents, another dying industry.
Yeah, that was exactly my question. How does the role of an agent change or get eliminated?
I'll tell you. Yeah.
Go first.
I'll tell you from my perspective. I just got kind of by accident picked up two agents, and as I mentioned earlier, both of them deals with print in New York, and the other deals with ebook industry stuff only. What I get, because the print agent is pretty standard, she does all my marketing for that, comes up with the plans, is getting me into different venues to get me into that cycle where, yeah, I know I'm going to make a lot of money in print. It's just what I'm like Stephanie down there, I'm determined. I'm not going to sit there and spend this time doing this for no reason, right? My ebook agent, however, ebook houses, as has been mentioned earlier, are springing up every day, and you've got some ebook people that really know what they're doing. They're very solid people. And then you got some folks that are very solid people with decent morals, but they don't quite have a grasp of the business model because they're just not really inclined to it. And then you got the rest of the ebook houses like Sizzler Editions or Alona's Cave and Lucid that have been around for, you know,
years,
decades in computer terminology, and are the giants of the industry. And I don't think right now you don't have to deal with an agent for most of them, but I can guarantee even though I've got a lot of clout for having been a writer for 12 years, I'm still going to submit to a new house. They're going to do their research on me. They're going to go find out what I've got out there, if I'm a professional, if I've done this, done that, I'm on Facebook and Twitter and all that other wonderful fun stuff. But then they're going to possibly throw me in the slush pile to be read at their discretion when they feel like it.
Mm-hmm.
My agent, however, might know someone at that house who deals specifically with my material. And on top of that, they advocate for me because they get paid too.
So they don't get paid until he sells.
Right. I don't have to worry about being the lone shark in the pool and playing guesswork with. Am I going to go to Alora's cave and sell? Am I going to go over here and sell? Am I going to go over there and send the story to them? No. She says, I'll take the story here and I'll put some of my skin on the line. It's going to cost you a little bit, but the cost to me is justified because, honestly, if she's going to jump my royalties from $1,000 a month to triple that, hey, it's a team sport. It really is. And this is a very, very lonely job. These are all my friends. I just met him today. He's a new friend of mine, you know. But we never talk other than online, and it's all promotional nonsense because that's what we're doing. We're pushing the books. And these two on the corners are authors of mine, and they only talk to me when I talk to them about work or whatever. So having an agent is like having a friend in the ebook industry. Now, I think in... You guys can give me a guess on this. I think in 5 years, because the ebook revolution is what it is and has been happening for so long, we're going to see the need for houses to filter one more level. So an agent is going to be required.
I have to disagree with that.
Okay,
with you.
You know,
I do not agree with that at all. Sasha, you're a sad, sad, lonely man.
If she'd ever just pick up the phone and call.
I do not agree with that at all, because the tenants that actually created this need for e-books is what keeps us in.
Yeah.
You know, if you start dealing with agents, then you are no better than New York in some points.
Right.
So we're keeping this the way it is because people like it. If you lose that almost friend feel to it, then people, you're going to lose your writers. Your writers don't want to have to deal with the hassle.
There was a reason, there was a need for print agents because Random House gets, you know, 10,000 submissions
six,
a month.
There's
the,
six
the big,
big
six.
The big six.
Yep.
Well, big five now.
Big
well,
five now, yeah.
Big five and a half. That's what they have now, and you have thousands and thousands of books being filtered into those five publishers, which is insane. They actually, if your acquisitions editor is having a bad day, spilled coffee on his way to the lab, don't like your name, there are many reasons why they'll toss your book into a slush pile.
Because a million right behind him. If you want to be, if you are dead set on making it in print, which is your prerogative, but it's a mistake, if you want to do that, go find an agent.
It's not a mistake.
Well,
if you want to start, if you want to, like, I'm just going to go make it big in print when all of these opportunities are available for you to build up.
But it's always an option because you can look at so many ebook authors who now made it to New York. They're still doing books.
If you want to build up a track record showing you can sell to an audience and then go to New York, that's one thing.
It's not even having to build up a track record.
So you recommend to people that they should just go after print right away?
I recommend to people they should go after what they feel like, what caters to them. What works for them.
If you want to do that, you need an agent. If you want to go out to the big houses, you need an agent. If you want to do the ebook thing, I don't think you do.
You don't need an agent for New York ebooks, but in some instances, you don't need an agent for New York either. Look at Kate Douglas and Angela Knight.
I think those stories are very isolated and usually some kind of a connection.
Baby, they're not isolated.
Did they get pulled out of slush pile?
No.
Is that
what happened?
I'm not familiar with them.
What happened was their acquisitions editor read reviews. And said,
reviews
I like
of what?
Of their books. Ebooks
where,
get reviews.
I'm confused.
This is
where
like
are
a steel
reviews
cage
from
match
books?
Now, so I'm going to stop
e-books?
You guys.
They read their ebooks.
No, just I don't
understand. No, we're not fighting. No, but they read the
the moderator gets no respect.
Of their ebooks.
Okay, so they started out in ebooks.
They read the reviews of their ebooks. They started out in ebooks. The acquisitions editor said, I like your style. I like the reviews. I like the fact that you have X amount of people that are selling your stuff. Send me your sales sheets.
They had their ebooks up. And then they use the ebooks as a leverage to get into the print.
Well, actually, they didn't even try. The agents noticed them. And they said, okay, New York. Okay. Boom, there we go.
Okay.
And it's not an isolated incident. It happens often. Look at Mary Janice Davidson. Mary Janice Davidson and I started writing at Laura's Cave at the same time. Now that woman is
I think we're just talking at cross purposes. I'm saying if you have ability to get out there and get noticed and prove yourself and get reviews and people can see what you've done because you've got a book out there in the ebook format, that gives you a better chance at getting nailed in print.
Yes,
That's what I'm saying.
But you don't actually need an agent.
No, you don't.
You don't need an agent for that. Sometimes people will know.
I usually say, I have a lot of books in print. I also have a lot more books in ebook. What I usually say is that my print books feed my ego, but my ebooks feed my bank account.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's where my money is. It's in the ebooks. Okay, we have another question.
What value do you see in separating the medium from the content? Because one of the things you say is the publishing is dying, but that isn't doing anything to alleviate the need for and desire for content and people who create that content.
Separating the meat. So you're saying, are you asking if you should write something different for ebook as opposed for print?
We're focusing on the difference between traditional publishing and e-publishing. Uh-huh. But the need for content and the market for content, the actual stories, the actual words that people are creating is still there.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So is there any value in separating those two and saying, write what you want to write and then find a market, whatever it happens to be?
That's what you're saying.
That's what we do all the time.
Yeah. If you write what you want to write and you get it out in ebook format, the market will find you.
Yeah.
There are people who want to read what you write, and they will come and find you.
Yeah, people are still egging me about
it. I discovered ebooks when I came across Laura's Cave when I was reviewing, and I wanted something that was sexy and vampire. And you couldn't get that. At the time, you could not get that in the bookstores, but you could get it in ebook. So then that's where I went, and I started buying, and then I started writing. So, I mean, go ahead. Whatever you're reading, focus and write it.
So
create your own.
Making the assumption that print media is dying, what should writers prepare for in the next 5 to 10 years?
They're already doing it. What they're doing right now is the storytelling hasn't changed. There's nothing different about the stories that are writing. What has changed is you can get farther and farther down the rabbit hole in what kind of content you write. And just you can write anything you think will sell, or you can write what's really near and dear to you. If you get that out there, then people are going to find it. So I really honestly, I don't think anything has changed. What has changed probably is 10 years ago, people were looking at my stuff and saying, we don't know what shelf to put it on. Is it horror? Is it science fiction? Is it hard sciences adventure? And I would get rejected because of that. And now that I go directly to the reader, I don't have that problem anymore.
Content is going to be the same regardless whether it's traditional publishing or e-publishing. A couple years ago, when I wrote this series, it went on to be nominated for Best Erotic Book of the Year.
It was good.
And it was up against all the New York authors, Angela Knight and all that. A couple years later, wrote this one. Same thing. So, I mean, I was up against New York writers, same clout. You know, I mean, the content is just the same.
I would say
that print is not dying. That's my opinion.
It's not.
I think the way books are published,
it's having growing pains.
Right. I think the way that books are published is what's changing. That's what's different. It's no longer going to be the big boys club.
Correct.
It's going to be. It's getting to the point now where anyone who has talent and can write a good, engaging story can sell their book.
You're going to be there's parallels to watch with the music industry in watching the moving away from physical medium on which contains your content to digital medium which contains your content. Books are not going to go away, but gradually, and books are by far the dominant format in which stories are consumed right now, but the ebook market is going to grow, and at some point in the next 5-10 years even, it's going to reach a tipping point, and printed books will largely become the minority because it's so convenient to have the ebooks, to have an entire library right here. It just makes more sense.
And it's green.
It's green.
And also that most ebook publishers do both.
Yeah. And the back end.
Put out ebooks. They put out print books as well.
The back end of things is what's going to basically change in traditional publishing, like Kieran said, and that's just going to be the fact that hopefully, knock on wood, that we get rid of this nonsensical idea about warehousing books that don't sell, having these bookstores, because I believe mom and pop bookstores are going to make a comeback at some point, and having these bookstores get rid of the stock that didn't sell, tear the covers off of it, and then just eventually just let them sit there in a warehouse for eons.
Well, that's how Borders got in trouble.
Yeah,
Fudging their numbers, ordering a great number of books, selling one or two, ripping the covers off and sending them back so that the publishing house would take
them
off.
And Borders is responsible, along with Barnes & Noble, for killing a number of mid-list authors' careers.
You know how much money Borders owes me that I'll never see?
Yeah, I can imagine. They probably owe all of us a good bit of money at some point. Which, I mean, it happens. It's just economics. If you don't have a business model that's able to grow and change. We covered the mail thing earlier as far as a couple of the authors up here, and the fact of the matter is, it sells like wild, like hotcakes. In adult and romance specifically, the top three things, and Stephanie can actually help me with this if I recall correctly, it's paranormal, mail, and there's the other one, is urban fantasy or
urban fantasy.
Okay, so urban fantasy. And there's no real hierarchy as to which one outsells the other one, especially if you can put all three elements in one book.
Score. more gold.
out of curiosity, how many people out there are adult writers?
And I want to see all of you.
That's what's awesome about this, yeah.
Any other questions?
With an electronic publisher, they will help you with editing, pick a cover, or help you pick a cover, and do the technology to get it in the right ebook format.
Yep.
Basically,
and then will they also take it to Amazon?
Yep.
And they'll walk it around. I guess there's going
to
be other
websites
besides Amazon in the future that will also sell.
One of the biggest things that happened for me was back when Sizzler Editions first started and the former, or now deceased owner took over, or had the control of the company, rather, he had us in a couple of places. He had us at Amazon, he had us at Barnes & Noble, and that's about it. And then when Jean Marie bought the company from him after he passed away, she got us into a ton of more ebook stores online that at the time were making some decent money. And as the company continues to grow and having a few of her own in-house authors who specialize in this sort of thing like I do editing, she can now spend more time getting our books into distributors that will actually sell a decent amount of books to make it worth the while to format and upload.
I've been telling you can do all this stuff yourself if you want to, and if you want to, you can, but this is a far better solution for an author is to find a good ebook publisher that you can trust and have them do those things for you.
And then at your website, you just link to Amazon?
At our website, we sell direct off the website, but we also have all the product stock in Amazon and Nook and all those different stores, too.
Do you get 100% off your website then?
We get 90% off our website because we're partnering with a company that does our back-end technology that handles the shopping cart and all that, and they take 10%, and that's backmybook.com. At Amazon, we take 70%. So, you know, it's 45% versus 70. Okay, 70 sounds good, but I had to bring in a business partner because I had no more time to write. And even though she does most of that work right now and she's brilliant at it, I still have to do managerial stuff and day-to-day things and fix up the website and do this and do that, and it all takes time away from making new product. The thing to keep in mind is if you guys are going to do this, you're the only factory in your business. You have a company that makes stuff. It's one factory, and I don't want to hear what he says about that. But basically, your output and backlist is going to be limited by how much you can write. And if you're spending your time doing a lot of things that are not writing, that's going to limit how much product you can put out. Tell me, sorta.
I know a few authors, or so I hear, about the authors in question.
Mike,
Karen.
She's holding the
microphone.
Mike, yeah.
Mic check.
Mic check 1, 2. I know for a fact there are a few authors that write a bunch of stuff and they just sell it to the publisher under one name. I read a story a while back. I was editing the same thing from this author, and I honestly thought, honest to goodness, thought I heard a rumor this author died like 2 years ago. And I check around, and sure enough, so be it, the author died. Well, it turns out somebody found a bunch of old manuscripts and sent them out. A lot of the authors in the older school of romance who have passed away and in mystery who have passed away, those books are still getting written. We know those authors are dead. And we know in the case of in certain ebook industry or authors, there's seven or eight of those authors. Yeah, it was floored. And the style's very, very basic. But if the author continues to make money and sell, why the heck not do it? I mean, it sounds like a pain.
Robert Jordan's still selling a ton of books.
Yeah. Octavia Butler, too.
We had mentioned percentages of linking back to Amazon and all you had mentioned. With e-publishing, most e-authors will link to their publisher's site if their publisher sells books because you're going to make more money that way. We get a higher percentage on the books that are sold at the publisher's site than we do on the books that are sold at Amazon or Barnes & Noble or the other bookstores. So on our web pages, the links will go back to our publisher. In my case, the exception to that rule are anthologies, because I get paid a flat rate when I submit a story to an anthology. Once I'm paid that flat rate, I never see another penny for that anthology. So what I'll do is I'll link back to Amazon for the anthologies, because I get a kickback every time someone clicks on it on my link and goes to Amazon to buy it. So there are other little ways that you can continue to make money on your stories.
Yeah. List all the third-party publishers on your personal website. That way, like you said, you get that
link back, and then you find authors who only shop at third-party sites like ARE or FictionWise or Amazon, and they'll follow that link back to your site, and they'll follow that back to your publisher. So it's like keeping the Ouroboros going. The snake is going to be eating its tail forever as long as you get your work in there.
Marketing.
That's marketing. Tomorrow. We've got flyers for that, by the way. I actually, in the case of Sizzler Editions, even though we're the oldest e-publisher out there, fact of the matter is we've been doing an adult for a very long time, and the publisher is now in a position where she can spend more time doing the day-to-day errands need to be done and making us grow as a company. However, most of you are new to Sizzler Editions, and so I'm going to route you to Amazon, because in my case with this particular publisher, if I sell 100 copies of a book at Sizzler Editions, I make a certain amount of money. If I sell 100 copies at Amazon, I'm going to get actually more money from Amazon.
We, because of giving away the podcast every week for 6 years now, I have a really strong relationship with my audience, and they basically trust everything I say. It's fun. And even with that, we still sell 80% of all our books are sold off of Amazon when it's mm-hmm. sitting right there in my site. So a lot of it's a comfort factor. People just would, if they're going to put in their credit card number, some people just feel more comfortable putting in for Amazon.
It's like the publishing house. They go by the names. People trust the name Amazon, so they'll go to the Amazon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it seems to me that if we look at the music model, iTunes dominates the music model because they dominate the device. Should we be thinking that, do you guys think that going forward, the device manufacturers are the ones who are going to dominate the publishing model with Kindle, Barnes & Noble?
No, I don't. And we spent a lot of time hashing it. I don't know what you guys think, but no. Kindle rules it right now, but there are there's 100 times more iPhones out there than there are Kindles that are capable of reading all this stuff. Apple just hasn't tried to grab that as a profit center yet. So there's the Kindle. Nook's doing a really good job. I think the Kobo reader's grabbing market share. And then you've got smartphones across all brands. I don't think it'll be device specific at all. The EPUB format is fairly dominant except for Kindle, which still uses .mobi. But eventually Kindle will have to come over to that. What do you guys think?
That's
guys
iPad.
It's iPad.
People download things to iPad. You can download it in just about any format for mm-hmm. free, so mm-hmm. things like that. But they're not going to try to dominate the publishing world. It's too much. They have enough problems trying to keep up with the latest technology and trying to worry about writers and copywriting and pirating and things like that. They don't have time for that. So they'll leave that to the publishing houses because that works. They'll keep trying to invent more devices to get you to spend more money to read our stuff.
And Amazon,
I totally agree with that, with both of them, actually. The difference for me as a person who's legally blind is going to be over one device over the other because it meets my needs better. That's what it really boils down to for me.
And Amazon knows it too, because that's why there's free Amazon readers for Mac, for PC, for iPhone, for Android, for the iPad.
Palm Pixie.
Amazon could give a crap what your device is. They don't mind making $200 off of you to buy, you know, well, not anymore, but back in the day it was more.
Yeah.
Quick note, you can, in fact, I've learned, submit an EPUB file properly formatted to the Kindle store.
Yes.
That's not what gets read on the Kindle, I know, but they can convert that. So you can build one file.
You can, but you're asking, right now, you're asking your customers to jump through some hoops, which are take that and email it to your Kindle account.
And No. When you submit in the KDP store. When you submit your
they'll
own
convert
work,
for you now.
They convert an EPUB now. You don't
I
have
would
to submit
never
a movie.
Do that.
I've been building EPUBs for a little while. I'm glad to help anybody who needs it. It's great. EBooks by Dave, if you need. I'll have cards. But I'm glad to hear everybody's takes on these things, because I do agree we need editors. Authors need editors.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But the Kindle store is there, and it does dominate from what I've seen.
Yeah, it's not going to be device specific. Amazon,
right,
the Kindle store is still by far dominant ebook sales.
Right.
It's like 70 or 80% of ebooks sold are all through the Amazon store.
Yeah. You want to e-publish, you want to go to Kindle for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody here write fan fiction out of curiosity? Look at all the hands that went up.
Don't look at my dad.
We're at a sci-fi conference. Are you really?
Just, this has
seriously
nothing to do with what we were talking about, but I just want to let you guys know that a huge percentage of ebook writers started in fan fiction, especially romance writers. There are
a
lot of us.
Star Wars.
Flash. Kirk and Spock.
The owner of Adult Fan Fiction is here. I don't know if she's here in this room right now, but she's here, and it's one of the largest adult-centric fan fiction sites. And I can't tell you how many writers came out of that
those fandoms in fan fiction. We're going to wrap it up now because we're out of time. That's really why I took the mic back. I want to give a big hand to my panelists. They were wonderful. Thank you guys for coming in. Thank you guys for showing up, and we hope we answered a lot of your questions. Come on up here. We've got some freebie giveaway stuff. We've got cards and stuff for you guys to take. One of the things, please remember that authors are extremely accessible. If you guys have questions, go to our website, email us. We'll email you back.
Yep.
We love to talk to you guys.
Yeah. Yep. And I will plug myself again, scottsigler.com. That's scottsigler.com. Free audio fiction every week. And all my backlist full audiobooks is free at podiobooks.com, podiobooks.com. All kinds of stuff there.